Stuart Lennon, the man with the plan in Cyprus.
TJ Cosgrove, that's a charming young man in the northern bit of Ireland. Well, how are you?
I am, and we spoke about this just before we hit the big button. I'm jiggered. I'm absolutely jiggered.
Yes, jiggered, an old English word used by my erstwhile business partner, who is a Stuart. Absolutely jiggered, old boy, jiggered. On the gin all night, good Lord.
Which means knackered. I'm absolutely gazeboed. Out of breath. Finished.
Gazeboed? No, that's a new one on me.
I mean, any noun can be verbed, let's be honest.
Nicely done, sir. What have you been up to? Anything good?
Office-y stuff and work and bits and bobs. And the weather's kind of been petering between warm and rain, which is pleasant and damp. So it's kind of... It doesn't quite know what to do, but it means that we get, you know, pleasant enough weather, but it also means sometimes it's too hot to sleep at night. So it's kind of it's a weird in between. It's not really nice enough to go out and enjoy it, although many people are. And it's also not bad enough to like curl up on the sofa and, you know, we're inside for the night. It's kind of a weird medium ground. So that is just, I don't know. We're working on a lot of different things at the minute. So I'm good. That's a rambling answer, but TLDR, I'm good.
TLDR, I'm good. I was just looking at the weather actually, because I've soon got some travel coming. Where I'm heading back to let's just say in your general direction,
the mothership.
And so I thought, I'll have a look at the weather forecast. So to give an idea, today, I was at 37 degrees C, which is 98.6. It's 98.6 Fahrenheit, or if you'd like, the average body temperature. There you are.
Right. Yeah, that sounds very pleasant.
And then I'm heading to a place that's showing for the time that I'm there around 57 degrees Fahrenheit or 15 degrees Celsius.
You're going to be findered and then you're going to be roasted. You just can't win.
I'm opening up wardrobes I'd forgotten I had in the hope that there may be something. Something soon. I mean, if it gets to sort of 25 degrees, I think, I'll put a cardigan on.
Get you one of those emergency blankets, you know, the foil ones that they put on Arctic survivors.
That's it. I mean, I've gone out and bought a suit. I shouldn't have bothered. I should have bought a duvet. Oh,
Snuggy.
So I'm a little concerned about that. But on the other hand, I am looking forward to going back to the UK. Just for a little while. I'll see my mum. I'll see some friends. And I'll, you know, do some proper sort of gainful employment type stuff. So, it's all okay.
Good stuff.
Anyway, we should get on with it, really. So what are you writing with and on, TJ?
So a bit of a vintage throwback for my writing. It's an Eberhard Faber Marigold number 2, which is like a basic yellow pencil. I picked up a box of them. I think it was eBay, actually, a couple of years ago, and I'm still working my way through them. I think I picked up 10 for maybe £3 or £4. Just people didn't know what they were. I just chucked them in. They're not rare or expensive, but they are Eberhard Faber original ones.
Yeah.
And it's Marigold. So if you're in the UK, that means yellow rubber gloves that you use to do the washing up. And these are a reminiscent yellow color.
Right, fantastic. And you're writing on your legal pads again.
Yes, Topps mini legal pads. Ones which I, in the hipster first world life that I lead, I imported them from the States because we don't have them here.
Wow. Well, soon you'll be able to import some by Blackwing.
Yeah, the illegal pads, which I love the name. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Sick bird.
Oh, The boys on Erasable were less enamored with the name, I think it's safe to say.
Well, I do love a good pun. I mean, I can't frown on a good pun.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's fair. Right, what am I using? Well, I'm in a Field Notes National Park.
Is this notebook. The poor one that you put on your Instagram? Like that? Oh my goodness. That is... that would be... If there was someone that you ring, like, notebook cruelty prevention and to report crimes against notebooks, you'd have been reported for the state of that notebook.
Wait, there are people that like a well-weathered notebook for whom this is sort of like hardcore extreme porn. Because this really, really, it's actually going to be retired tonight. There's lots of space in it. But... Clearly, there's also been, I'd estimate, a pint or two of sweat in it as well. It's as I mentioned earlier, temperatures have been a bit on the toasty side. And yes, I'll just put that in my back pocket when I play golf is not a phrase you're going to hear from me again during the summer.
R.I.P. that notebook, yeah.
Mm. So I will, fortunately, I'm in a reasonably... sort of replete position when it comes
to
notebooks.
You've
got eight more. Yes. So I will just wander from the mic and say, I sound like John Inman. what have we got here? We've got Zion National Park or Arcadia. Oh, I like Arcadia.
That's Portland kind of direction, isn't it? Or is that?
Yeah. Well, it certainly looks it. There's a sailing boat.
Yeah. I can never remember if it's Portland or Maine, which are in opposite sides, but at the top.
Well, I would say that the sea is on the left of the notebook, which immediately makes me think West Coast, which shows how simplistic my view of the world is, to be honest.
Well, we could be wrong. Yeah, Arcadia does sound Portlandy-ish, Oregon-y. Who knows? Americans, please help.
Indeed. We may even bother ourselves to Google it, because I'm sure it'll take about
5
seconds.
No. Just leave it for Slack. Slack will correct us in about a week's
Slack
time.
Yeah.
I look forward to do at me on this one. I'm looking forward to the feedback.
Okay, well, I think that one is going to go into the pocket. Well, near the pocket occasionally. No.
In a waterproof Ziploc bag.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'm writing with my Schoen design, which is it's like my stainless steel tent peg.
Yep.
Lethal weapon if required. Watching. You watching anything?
Yes, I watched The Big Short, which is a movie about the stock exchange and the recession, which sounds much more boring than it actually was. It was very, very good.
I saw it myself. I think I forgot to mention it on the show, but when I was binging on Avengers stuff, I also watched The Big Short.
Because it's thematically similar, of course.
Well, yeah, there's quite a lot of fantasy in both, I suppose.
I just thought it was brilliant. It's something I think this is probably the case for a lot of people who watch it. I was I was sort of broadly aware of some of it, but not necessarily understanding a lot of it. I was like, yeah, I guess that stuff happened. Yeah, probably. But seeing how it all went down, and obviously it's a fictionalized account. Some things will be kind of taken out of context or sort of blown up for sort of cinematic uses. But it was really, really interesting, like, cross-sectional dissection of something that happened, and it was 2015, so it wasn't that long after, and it was really, really well put together film. I really enjoyed the style. It was almost like a documentary, but not. And there's a couple of really interesting fourth wall breaking moments where they turned around and went, this isn't technically not how this happened, we didn't just find this here, we didn't just speak to this person, but it's a film, so get over it, that's really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the film with a degree of, I suppose, professional interest. I mean, I was in financial services when the crash happened. And I'm not saying anything that's confidential, he said, just thinking. Yeah. MoneyGram, which is a large international money transfer company, we were a super agent of MoneyGram. So we were contracted to them to sign up networks of agents in the countries that we were in charge of. That's a sort of overview. So we work quite closely with them. or as closely as you can with a big American corporate, because there's a certain, there's just a certain way those guys work. Anyway, on an earnings call, which they have to have every quarter because they're a US listed company, they took, I think they were one of the first large companies to take a big hit for write-downs for these derivatives. So the sort of debt, what would you call them? What were they called? The subprime stuff, which I think The Big Short does a great job of explaining to people in very sort of small, simple words what these things were, what these repackaged debts were. The thing that was striking about that earnings call and some research that my partner and I did afterwards, because we were a little bit confused, nobody, and I mean people who are head of trading for large banks, nobody had the first clue what these things were.
Wow.
They did not have a clue. You would ask a question and you would get a 15-minute answer, which is, you know, fairly standard for a financial services question, but it was all waffle. We would say, okay, look, I don't understand what you're telling me. What is it? And if you persisted long enough, you would get down to the fact that everybody assumed that everybody else knew what it was, and therefore faked that they knew what it was.
Yeah.
And nobody had any idea that actually you owned a slice of a loan that had been given to somebody who never had any intention or ability to repay it. That was basically what it was.
Yeah.
And that came across quite well in the film, that people were just making this stuff up. Mm. And that's what it was. And, you know, the jury remains out on how many people were just plain stupid and how many were criminal. Now, the conspiracy theorists will have you believe that this is criminal masterminds who have been oppressing the poor for generations and all that. And you get all sorts of stuff comes into this. You get racism, you get all sorts of stuff. And you'll have other people going, no, no, you just don't realize how categorically, cataclysmically stupid bankers are. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle of all that. But certainly a lot of people that I spoke to, I would, hand on heart, say were very, very honest, but just did not have a clue what was going on and had not a single clue what they were trading.
Hmm.
And those instruments that were invented at that time and that essentially sort of multiplied the problem, they're back. They are
different names, same thing.
They are in market now. There are people listening to this podcast who've probably got no idea that they own some of them, but they do, because they're packaged up into all sorts of weird things and they're bought into by pension funds and all of these. It's terrifying that it seems likely we're going to make the same mistake again. Mm-hmm. to the extent that you might think it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I loved the film for that reason, that it explained it quite well. And also, as you say, those fourth wall moments were brilliant, because
and
they were done.
You just have like a section where like, here's a really complicated financial thing. What if Margot Robbie explained it to you in a bathtub? And you're like,
yeah, towards the end,
right? Okay.
Yeah, I certainly pricked my ears up. What?
Suddenly attention spans doubled, tripled, quadrupled.
Yeah, I think it's a good film, and I think people should watch it. I think it has an educational value, particularly as
I think so.
There's still no financial services companies out there effectively explaining all these things, which, you know, I think it's a bit of a shame, but there you are. Peaky Blinders, I see on your list. Is this,
yeah,
you're
Peaky
going
Blinders.
Back in time, or?
I'm going, well, it is set in 1919. I watched maybe the first season and then petered off, did other things. It wasn't bad, and I actually really enjoyed it, but there was other stuff that I was watching at the time. So now Meg and I were looking for a new show because Meg kind of jumped on the season three bandwagon of Stranger Things.
Right.
Like four episodes in, was like, this is really good. I'm like, I know. I've been watching it for three seasons and you wouldn't. And she's like, no, it's good. I'm like, okay, do you want me to start it? No, it's fine. But you don't know who I know. It doesn't matter. Okay. All right. So we finished that and then wanted another thing to watch together. And so I thought, well, I don't remember most of the plot. I remember some of the big points, but I don't remember most of the plot from the first season. So we can start again. And there's four seasons to roll. So there's a good, good runway on that.
Yeah. So, and the next one's coming.
Peaky Blinders. That's right. So we will have enough to watch in the near future when I'm ignoring all the things I should be doing for the wedding.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Peaky Blinders. It's
and Sam Neill. Sam Neill being a man from my own island. He is actually from here anyway.
He is. And I fear you won't see as much of him as you might wish. As the thing sort of rolls on, it does go through quite a long time span, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's just fabulously well done television.
Excellent. And
it's another one of those that you go, your BBC, it's worth hanging on to.
Mm.
Just Peaky Blinders. Interestingly, it was all shown on BBC Two and it's coming back on BBC One. So that's a sign it's crossed some sort of Rubicon in however the BBC works.
Internal Rubicon. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's a big deal now.
And it looks like you've been continuing your film education, if I read your show notes.
Yeah, well, this was quite a strange one. As we touched on in episode 80, I've had a visitor. So a friend of mine from where's he from? Okay, he's half Swedish, half Finnish, and lives in Norway. There you are. He's Scandinavian. Let's call him Scandinavian.
Yeah, Viking.
He's been over for a few days, and we met through golf and cemented our friendship through alcohol. So we've been pretty much focused on golf and alcohol. However, yesterday we played golf and we came back from the golf course, did the sort of admin-y stuff that we had to do. Margaret was going out to work, so she wasn't around. And we were going to go and do this. Or no, let's go do that. No, how about we do... Actually, can we just do nothing?
Can I lie down?
Yeah, sort of, time out. There were even symbols used. He went to go and lie down on his bed. And I watched television in that very English way, which generally involves the television watching you. So I had my feet up and I hit the remote control, thought, oh, there's nothing on. We have this sort of memory playback thing, so you can go back through a week.
Yeah.
Even through our sort of dodgy TVRS.com. And there it was, Blade Runner. I thought, oh, Blade Runner. Heard so much about it, never seen it.
And Rutger Hauer passed away just a couple of weeks ago, so it's
exactly so. It jumped to my front of my queue for that. And so I watched it and thought, oh, okay. That's kind of what I thought. Well, okay.
or it was fine?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, expectations again, isn't it? You come to it thinking this is a seminal movie. This changed so many things. This is part of this cult, and then thought, oh, yeah, that's a bit dated. Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure that really worked. Harrison Ford. I thought he could act. All sorts of sort of, I suppose, slightly erroneous and unfair judgments came rushing to my mind. And I thought it was okay, but it didn't change my world at all. But I'm now going to try and watch the next one, which is, was it
2049?
Yeah, that one. Because that's
it's good too. I enjoyed it.
Being shown on the same channel. So I'm going to have a look at that one next.
If you want another sci-fi film, because you seem to be in a rhythm of sci-fi films, one that you need to watch if you haven't already is Starship Troopers.
Oh, no, no. I mean, no Saturday night when I was at... I suppose it would have been after university. Where was I? Anyway, there was a lot of beer involved. Starship Troopers with a lot of beer inside you is
yeah.
It's awesome.
Fantastic film. absolutely amazing.
The dialogue, I mean, that must have taken 7-8 seconds, I would have thought, to put that together.
I think there's a book they can just pull it from it. If you're doing a war movie with military, quasi-military types, there's just a chapter in the book and you just photocopy it and hand it to the actors.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. And there was that, well, she's still, I'm sure, very attractive woman in it. So I can't remember what her name was or is. Well, there was a useful link, wasn't it? There was this really good-looking woman. I remember staring at her on the TV through beer-lidded eyes. Never mind. But yes, now that you've mentioned it, I might watch it again. What about listening? You listening to anything?
Yeah, I am listening to Dinosaur Park, which is a... This is a weird one, right? So it's the same people who make the Dungeons & Dragons Australian comedy podcast stuff that I like. So they're comedians who play D&D. Then they did an episode on their non-D&D podcast about John Hammond. It's like a pop culture podcast, and they did one about John Hammond and Jurassic Park. And through that, they started kind of riffing and getting this idea of some horrible, terrible version of Jurassic Park that is just awful. You would never want to go there. But through that, they were like, well, this is kind of actually kind of funny, and we enjoy it. So then they went on and basically invented a version of D&D around this fictional Jurassic Park that they've created. So there's three. I've listened to two seasons. So there's one season, which is Dinosaur Park, and then Dinosaur World, and then Dinosaur Universe. And it's this elevation of this handcrafted RPG system as a pod. It's a really weird thing to describe, but I really, really enjoy it. I listened to it about a year or two ago, the first two seasons. And then the third one came out and I wasn't aware of it. So I'm now listening back up to where it finished. And then I got to listen to the third one. So Dinosaur Park by Sandspants Radio.
Very cool. I will have a look at that one because as people will have picked up, I'm quite interested in D&D at the moment. What have I been listening to? Just the usual stuff. Well, not very much actually, but in between running around golfing and drinking, I've been listening to the podcast. And on the way back from the airport today, I was listening to Erasable, where this very podcast and you and I get a very nice honourable mention.
Ah, is that the most recent episode?
Yeah. The guys were talking about a little bit what we do here in terms of watching and listening, but what they podcasts that they enjoy, blogs that they enjoy. In our stationary sort of adjacent world. And Andy Wellfleet picked us as his podcast. Oh,
thanks, Andy. Thanks, guys.
I nearly drove my car off the road. He almost caused a critical accident. And he's still hung up on the you drinking beer in the shower thing and me talking about
really
fine wines. I mean, the brandy accused me of this time. I can't imagine where he gets that.
I mean, we're about to start. Is it drinking? Have we got reading to do yet? Because I'm literally staring at it here. I'm waiting for the. Can we swap drinking and reading today so I can do this?
We certainly can.
All right,
yes.
Hold on. You ready?
Go on then.
Blew out the mic.
Wow, that's Andy. Good.
That is a Budweiser King of Beers. How it is different from a Bud Light, I am not sure. But it's all I have in the fridge, and it's not on the fridge. It's in my belly.
Very good. Well, Andy and everyone else, brace yourselves. I am drinking Cayenne lemonade.
Is that non-alcoholic?
Correct.
I'm shocked. I'm appalled, actually.
It's been a long week, TJ, I'll be honest. we're actually, I mean, we're by my standards, because I usually talk to you quite late in the evening. It's still quite early for me here. It's only 9 o'clock. I've just come back from the airport. It won't last, obviously. this is now my second lemonade, and I think that's probably my capacity for lemonade. And then we'll have beer, or possibly
broaden out, yeah.
We may even have a malt whiskey because I've got to say, if you're going to have house guests, find yourself half Swede, half Finn, lives in Norway.
Pay for themselves.
Oh, incredible. It turns up with gifts. Easy to please, easy to keep. And the only thing I couldn't stop him do was getting his wallet out. It was fabulous. Oh, but also, if you do fancy a lemonade, Cayenne lemonade from Cyprus is very nice, very lemony.
Very lemony lemonade.
Yeah, it's like that cloudy stuff, you know. It's not sort of,
what do you call that? The fancy lemonade? One? No, the real fancy one. It's got like a foil wrapper on the top.
Oh, I say. So like San Pellegrino-esque stuff.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Yeah. If you've got to take a lid off before you take the lid off, it's fancy.
Okay, no, there's no extra lid on this, but it is very, very tasty. And let's face it, Cyprus is full of lemons, so it would make some sense.
Yeah, got to put them somewhere when life gives you lemons.
there you go. It's probably also because Cyprus is not that politically correct. It's probably got enough sugar to keep a classroom of school children up for a fortnight, which may be why it appeals to me. Who knows? Right, so having gone there, what about you're drinking at the moment?
Mm.
Beer or
beer? Beer. Beer. Well, a beer analog, American beer.
American beer. We've done that joke too many times. Let's not do it again. So what about reading? Are you reading anything?
No, not really. I'm not even listening to my audiobook at the minute because I'm on the podcast. So I know some people have consternation when I talk about listening to a book. I don't think I can broaden that notion into listening to a podcast being a book. I'm listening to a podcast. So yep. I'm not really reading anything. I have analog. I did read it a couple of times last week. I stopped and had a coffee, or I still haven't really worked the lunch break thing in. It's just not practical sometimes to go and read a book and eat some carrots. It's a weird, I haven't got enough hands. can't turn page and hold book and eat things. So yeah, there's one of those logic problems. But yeah, I have read a couple of bits and pieces, but not all that much recently. And I've been doing a lot of video stuff, which is great. I'm really getting back into the swing of doing some bits and pieces. So I've been really busy. And so I've been kind of working until about, I don't know, 10:15, 10:30, and then trying to get an early night. So I'm kind of retiring to bed after that. So I'm not getting a lot of time, and that's okay. It's just the way things wax and wane, but I'm noticing I'm not spending an awful lot of time reading them because I'm not doing the audiobook. That would generally be where I pick it up. And since I'm not doing that, I'm just not really reading.
Alrighty. Okay, well, here's a new and exciting sound effect for you. Apologies for that, but the mosquitoes were quite literally biting.
I wondered if that was deodorant, shaving foam, or something else. Whipped cream, maybe? I'm not sure.
Damn, I've been rumbled. No,
all three.
No, that was something very, very noxious, because I feel like I'm about to collapse, called Aroxol. So there we are. Perhaps we've got our first sponsor. Aroxol. kills all flying things dead.
That's perhaps too broad. Well, keepers of birds.
Yeah, and apparently I got 50 cents off this bright yellow tube of death. Oh, there we are. Oh, it's got something in English. Look, for flies and mosquitoes, fast action.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, splendid.
Fast action.
I'm sure the lemonade will taste a bit ropey now. Anyway, well, I've finished the book I was reading, A Natural by Nora McKinney, which is
steamy.
Yes, very steamy. And on Twitter, she's suggesting that I do the audiobook.
That would actually be amazing.
I'm not sure my heart would be up for it.
You'd have to, oh dear, hold on. Can't say that.
And then they sat down and had a cup of tea.
Yes, don't edit. No, stop censoring it, Stuart. Yes.
But no, if you like that sort of thing, go and have a look at that. It's called Unnatural, as in A Natural, by Nora McKinney, and it's a great debut novel. fabulous. And I've just this evening, actually, while I was doing the show notes, I started having a look for my next fiction and my next non-fiction. And I'm pretty much there, I think. I've got a few stacked up on the various reading platforms. So I think I'm there, but well, we'll see. I shall finish that later. Mm.
Cool.
Buying stuff. You been buying anything?
Well, I haven't bought it yet, but I am scouting to buy something. Fridge paint. Need to see a man about fridge paint.
Fridge paint.
Yeah, paint for your fridge.
Fridge paint is a thing, is it?
Well, I mean, any paint's fridge paint if you put it on a fridge, but I'm trying to get blackboard paint to put on a fridge. So my white, you know, I literally have white goods sitting in the kitchen. Whenever the heat wave in Northern Ireland killed my fridge, rest in peace, which was inbuilt, I had to revert to a spare fridge that I had because, of course, he doesn't have a spare fridge. But it is large and monolithic in the kitchen, and because it's now no longer built in, it is built out. It takes up space and looks monolithic in the corner. I don't really like it, so I was thinking of ways to make it less crap.
You're
and
trying to camouflage your fridge.
I mean, when you put it like that, yes, but I am going to turn it into a giant green chalkboard. So it'll be like a primary school classroom vibe. That's the aesthetic I'm kind of going for. Like a dusty green. And then we can actually use chalk markers on it. And Megan's extremely artistic and can do all kinds of nice doodles and drawings on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear the doubt, but this will work.
I was thinking I could send you a notebook. I'd save you an awful lot of trouble.
But then I wouldn't have to paint a fridge.
I mean, this is the Instagram lifestyle, isn't it, really? You're going to have the most Instagrammable fridge on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't owe us anything. It was given to us for free by a family friend, which is why I had it spare. And then we moved into a house with one. So this fridge owes me nothing. Works grand. Very noisy, but works grand. So I'm like, yeah, we'll just cover it in paint. Just have a go.
Great. Only metal. I could come in the night and engrave my initials with a knife.
Engrave your initials with a knife on any fridge, to be fair.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't see it, would you?
It depends on the knife. Depends on the force of the engraving.
Oh, for God's sake, man. Yes, I'm sure you're right.
Yes, if you would like to book a flight to Northern Ireland to come to engrave my fridge and then not stay for a drink or dinner, be my guest.
No, who said anything about not having a drink or dinner? I consider that fighting talk, Cosgrove.
Stu was here.
Yeah, exactly. Stu was here and there was not enough beer in your fridge. Goodbye.
Yeah, but I'm literally drinking the last one.
P.S. This is it. I didn't touch the Budweiser.
Yeah, wanted a drink, not water.
Oh, we got the joke in the end.
We got the joke. You gotta shoehorn it in.
No, I think that'd be great. I think that's a very, very cool thing to have a chalkboard
something
fridge.
Something different, right? Yeah. And literally, it owes us nothing. If it was a brand new fridge that I had to buy, I'd maybe be a bit more reticent. But it literally is free. It works great. It has an indeterminate lifespan because it is a hand-me-down. So if it dies tomorrow, I'll be like, all right, buy a new one, I suppose.
You could get going on this. You could pimp it up. You could get your sort of box stand. This lemonade is going straight to my head. You could get this box standard fridge, and you could make it into one of those 50s retro ones, just with a little bit of molding at the top and your chalk green and all that. Oh, I could see this working, yeah? Because those are small fortune. Those things.
Mm-hmm. You try and buy Smeg them. Make them and a couple of other ones as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for the fridge thing. So Margaret satisfied herself with the toaster and the kettle, which are beautiful. I mean, they're sort of powder blue. I mean, they just look great. They don't make very good toast, and they're crap as far as the kettle goes, but they look nice, which is what's important.
They look fabulous while they're underperforming.
Yes. Exactly.
A bit like myself.
Not a week goes by that I'm not in that toaster with a knife, jabbing at things, trying to get them out. And the lettering, the sort of raised lettering, Smeg, has come off that kettle at least twice. I think that's the third kettle.
Yeah, is this a super glue job or a ring of the mop and send me a new kettle?
Sure. I mean, this is the country that gave us the Ferrari. I mean, how it gets around on a road, I've no idea, but they cannot. They really cannot make a kettle. Anybody would have thought a grumpy old man. Anyway, stop. I bought something today. I bought a ticket for the policeman's ball. Which for anybody young or American, that's a euphemism. I got a speeding ticket today.
Oh, I did not get that at all. I genuinely was going to ask you. No. Sorry.
Yeah, so a very nice policewoman called Maria extorted some money from me. While we're on a sort of ranty show, or I am, I live in a little village that's, this won't mean anything to many people, but halfway between Limassol and Paphos. And there is a motorway that runs from Limassol to Paphos. And to get to the golf club of which I am a member, it's not my golf club at all, but I go down onto the highway, they call it in Cyprus, in a sort of outbreak of American culture. It's a highway. We call it a motorway. And the speed limit in Cyprus is quite low, which, you know, frankly, is not much of a problem. It's not very big. So it's 100 km, which is, I think, about 65 miles an hour, but just at the top of my head, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is fairly reasonable. And there's sort of a standing understanding.
Yep, I'll lie.
If you don't go over 120, so, I don't know, 75 miles an hour-ish, the police will be pretty relaxed about the whole thing. However, as you go along the highway, it's a very sort of rocky part of the coast, a beautiful road, it's a coastal road, there's a tunnel. They've built not a huge tunnel, but a sizable tunnel that you have to go through to get under a particularly obstructive hill, presumably.
Yeah.
And just before the tunnel, the speed limit drops to 80 km.
Mm.
And at the other end of the tunnel, the exit end of the tunnel, was a police person with a little radar gun. So as you come around the curve in the tunnel, yeah. Boom, there you are. Have that, pull over. So,
Carter Cash.
Yeah, you know, the conversation goes, going, you know, are you aware that the speed limit was 80 km or something? No, I thought the speed limit on Cyprus motorways was 100 km. Yes, not in the tunnel. Oh, right, why is that then? Well, because in the tunnel, there is no emergency exit.
Right.
My words precisely. Right. And why does that mean the speed limit changes? Well, it's for safety.
Now, that 20 kilometers an hour difference, that's what's going to save you, Stu.
Well, at this point, I had the presence of mind to think, this is probably a time to shut up, Stuart, rather than demonstrate that you're a smart ass. And be a little bit contrarian. So I went, oh, right. That piece of intelligence had slipped my mind entirely, madam. Sorry, I had no idea. And she said, well, you were doing 99 kilometers per hour. So first of all, I was delighted that I was under the actual normal speed limit. I was very surprised. Because we're in the big car, which has got a 3-liter engine and goes like the proverbial off the shovel. So I don't know, my foot must have slipped off the accelerator or something. So I went, oh, right, okay. And she said, so that's 19 kilometers over the limit. So the good news is there's no penalty points, no hassle. It's just a small fine. Right. When you say small fine, now brace yourself, TJ. Are you sitting?
I'm sitting.
Okay. 19 euros.
So it's a toll booth.
Well, again, I had to restrain myself from saying, are you telling me that you've just spent the best part of 100 euros of taxpayers' money clocking me coming out of this thing on that stupid hairdryer thing with your colleague, both of you sitting in a 60,000 euro police car, so that you can fine me 19 euros?
Is that 1 euro per kilometer per hour?
That seemed the obvious solution. But I thought, do you know what? Don't say anything, just in case you go down the table for her and go, no, love, that's 99, you fool. I thought, just zip it.
Right. Yep, sounds good. That's not a problem.
And she's like, would you like to pay it now or go to the station? No, no, I'll pay it now. I think we can, between the three of us, we can scrabble it together. And I am getting, by the way, my wife has been in a particularly stressed mood for a week. This wasn't helping enormously as this policewoman spoke across my wife to me. Oh, and so I'm already, as I'm talking to the policewoman, sort of preparing myself for the earache that I'm going to get from my wife afterwards. 19 euros. Which, you know, clearly that's a bit of an escape. I've done well. But as we pulled away, I'm going to give him a name. Okay, my half Finnish, half Swedish, lives in Norway. Friend is called Linus, and Linus pulling away said, when we were coming out of the tunnel, yes, you know, we were being passed by a police car. And I went, do you know, I think you're right. I considered reversing back down the motorway, but again, thought that the police person might take a dim view of that.
Yeah, it's another fiver.
Exactly. Yeah. A pint of milk for that. So yeah, that was just quite an odd way to start the day.
You bought yourself a really, really nice story for 19 euro.
Yes, I suppose it did. I'll try that with the wife later and let you know which bit of me she punches.
When we don't get to episode 82, yeah. I'll know.
But some of the questions they ask as well, I don't know if this is true of police officers everywhere. And for the record, I'm pro-police. I think you do a great job and you're very brave people. But in this particular case, I'm going to take an exception. This is absolutely she's apologetic. It's okay, you know, there's not going to be any paperwork. But then she stood there for 10 minutes filling in this piece of paper by hand. And said, do you live in Cyprus? And I went, yes, some of the time. Because I didn't want to get into any debates about what type of driving license I should have, and lest the Brexit debate break out. Mm. Okay, so do you know your address? Yes. Yes. In common with most people, I'm aware of where I live. Takes down all the details from my driving license. Have you been in trouble with the police before? No. Now, I'm watching her record all this by hand. And then she's going off. I'm just going to go and check. I think she's trying to make me think that she's got some sort of high-powered computer terminal in there that she's going to check my record. Or a massive index box. I don't know which.
Index cards.
Yeah, just
Lennon,
going through.
Lennon L.
Is that two N's?
Yeah. First, Stuart, S-T, S-T-U, S-T-U. Yep, gotcha. Now it's empty.
I've just run across the room to get it. Here it is. Removal or tampering with this. This is why it... That's what it is. It's the Sovereign Base Area Police.
Oh.
Yeah, these are the ones that were... Oh, I know their chief of police. I should get my 19 euros back with interest by the end of tomorrow. I play golf with the fella. Oh, dear. I do actually know him, but I'm not going to get my 19 euros back again for the record. Particulars of events. I'm trying to see what she's written. She's written paid at the top and underlined it. I think that underlining is probably important. The sum of 19 euros for the payment... of the fixed penalty provided for offence mentioned above in this notice. There you are. Well, I've been done for speeding in the UK, and I've got to say it's much more fun being done for speeding here.
Much cheaper here in Cyprus, I think.
Well, that's the other thing of having someone who lives in Norway in the car with you. How much was that? That 19 euros, like. You said, what is that, some sort of deposit?
Yeah, it's through your first interest statement payment.
He got hit not long ago for I think it was 5 or 6 kilometers per hour over a limit. I don't know which limit, but I think it was in the region of 800 euros.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, that's fierce.
Well, this is a country where a beer is £12.
I know that there's a Nordic inflation at work here. It doesn't make it more palatable.
Oh yeah, he told me the story at a different time because he had two, and both of them were numbers that sort of made me, go pale.
Mm.
But anyway, there you go. So that's my dog is barking fiercely out there. Just
snakes ahoy.
You can hear her though. She's doing a great thing. So that's the joys of the policeman's ball. You're getting a green paint for your fridge. Parish notices and life changes. Well, I think I've probably covered mine. My Viking raid is now complete. As we speak, he should have been in the air for about an hour on his way back to sunny Norway. Or not very sunny Norway, it would appear.
Just Norway.
But yeah, he should write a book on being a house guest, this fella. Absolutely fantastic. We had a cracking time. We played lots of golf. We did drink a fair amount. I'm prepared to be honest about that. But at no point in a way that was inappropriate. It's just been really, really hot. So it's been cold beer time. And just great to see someone I hadn't seen for probably about almost exactly a year.
Fair enough, that's good.
So that was fun, and he's coming back, and he's bringing his significant other with him next time. So I think this was a kind of test trip, just to make sure that A, we all got on okay, and B, that we weren't actually living in a tent in the back of the policeman's car. So there we are. What about you? Has there been anything notable going on in the Cosgrove
world? Nothing strange or startling, no. Intermittent fasting still going strong, feeling good. Still miss my coffees in the morning. I've actually started foregoing coffee entirely rather than have it black because it's the mouthfeel. It just isn't right. I just don't enjoy it as much.
You were really positive about black coffee. Was that sort of just trying to convince yourself?
No, it's not that it's... I have been enjoying it on occasions, but I'm finding there's a certain amount of fatigue. So it's okay. Like, it's good. It's fine. It's okay. I want milk.
It doesn't feel like a treat.
No. And I mean, I do then have a coffee later in the day after the fast is finished and I can have a milk. So I'm not going without. It's more of just delaying it. So I'm also acutely aware that I do drink an awful lot of it. And I'm thinking, is this an addiction? Am I just in a habit of drinking coffee, and therefore, much like we are smoking, it's like I don't want to, have to find a way to drink coffee because I have to drink coffee. I could just not drink anything.
Sure.
And so there's almost an element of that where it's like, okay, well, just don't have anything. So I had one later today, and waited, 7 or 8 hours after I got up, maybe longer, and that was fine. It's grand. So just being aware of like it's not if that was the only thing that I'm not finding easy to wait on. Why am I including it at all? Can I just either remove it or move it out of the way?
So, yeah, sure. I mean, you can drink all sorts of funky tea as well, can't you?
I just, again, tea, it's too hot. It's too watery. I'm a very complaining man about hot beverages.
Oh. It's tough to be a hot beverage in the Cosgrove house, really.
I don't drink tea, full stop. I've drunk, I don't drink English or UK tea at all. Mm-hmm. Can't stand its foil. I've drunk green tea in the past. I'll drink green tea every now and again. When I was in China, I drank various, actual, Lapsang Souchong, various different kinds of tea, which are interesting and very much culturally significant and very much part of the experience. And that was really cool. I don't think I'd recreationally drink lots of it because it's just not really my thing, but it was really nice to try lots of different things. But yeah, just tea, meh. Coffee's great, but again,
I can't remember. Do you drink wine?
I do, but not very often. We drank wine a little bit when you were
colours,
in Belfast.
Yeah, what colour's your preference?
Yes, I don't drink enough to have a preference. Mm. White wine, in my experience, and this is probably just because I've only ever drunk this kind of wine, very sharp, very dry. Yeah. Don't really like that. Red wine needs to be with good food. I'd never sit down and have a bottle of red wine unless I'm eating. Just I'd never think of it, never bother with it. White wine, again, I've only weddings and social functions are really the only times I would drink wine. Every now and again, Meg and I get a bottle and share it, which is nice. But again, I haven't explored.
I think you've got an issue with tannins, mate. That's your thing.
Yeah, that might be it, because it's the same in the coffee and it's the same in tea.
Yeah, it's. I think you're a little bit tannic intolerant.
Well, that could be the thing. I definitely don't like sharp, dry wines. They're just not fun.
Yeah, no, in the whites, that's probably just that it's probably not the tannins that are getting you. It's the acidity of the wine. But the in the reds, the ones that sort of make you
it's almost like dry mouth.
Like sort of black tea can do. That's very much tannin that does that. Yeah. And you don't get that tannic experience or you get much less of it if you're eating with your wine. So that would kind of make me think that maybe it's just your body's getting enough with the tannins. You're already battering me with black coffee. I don't want anything else. But who knows? Oh, well, the intermittent fasting, that's been going, 6 to 8 weeks now, I guess, something like that.
Yeah, about that. I'm really enjoying it. Down about, I don't know, 20 pounds or something like that.
Oh, fantastic. That's brilliant. Well done, you.
So it's trucking along. It's still plenty to go. Still plenty of, it's a lifestyle change, not a diet.
Sure.
So I may well keep doing this. I may well change it up. But for now, it's a very low impact way for me to make a difference. And I'm noticing it every day and I feel good. Well, so I'm going to keep
significant difference too.
Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Alrighty. So okay, I think 3-pin plug time.
Let's plug it.
Well, potentially, I suppose, for the last time. Oh, did I give too much away? Right. Okay. So the 3-pin plug. my name is Stu Lennon. You can find me on Twitter at Stu Lennon, or you can find me on Instagram at stuart.lennon.587. I also run Nero's Notes, which is a website that sells notebooks, paper, pens, pencils, and associated ephemera, as TJ would say. We also do subscriptions, where people can have a quarterly subscription of sort of pocket notebook, desk notebooks, or Nero's selection of notebooks. And I also write at stuartlennon.com, stuartlennon.com. That's me. Who are you, TJ?
I'm TJ Cosgrove, and I run Wood and Graphite, the number 2 pencil biz video channel on the internet. It's a YouTube channel about pencils and paper and notebooks and ephemera. And if you like the podcast, it's possible that you'll like the videos. They're like the visual version of this audio thing. I've just finished a video, and it's up on the channel, about my office and studio, where I make my videos, where I write my scripts, where I do all this podcasting stuff. So if you want to see that, a little bit of an insight there, it's a good chunky 10 or 12 minute video. I did lots of fun stuff with camera sliders and had a lot of fun with cinematography. So it's an interesting video to get you started. If it sounds intriguing, go and watch it.
It's really good.
Find it on. Yeah, I enjoyed making it. So that's something. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, I guess, if you're into that. Wood, ampersand, graphite. Very, very simple. Wood and graphite. You can spell it out if you want as well. And yeah, that's me. And then we've got the grounding pin, the third earth pin of this 3-pin plug. You want to take it away?
Certainly. 1857, this podcast, which is called 1857 because you can support 1857 by going to the website where it is hosted, which is at www.1857.co.uk. And there's a little button with a dollar sign in it. Guess what that does? If you press that button, you can make a donation. I think there are some suggested amounts, or you can make an amount all of your own. That, if you are able to do so, we would greatly appreciate that, because we use that money to pay for the hosting costs and the production costs of the podcast. Also, of course, you can go along to Nero's Notes and buy lots of funky notebooks. That supports me. You can go along to stuartlennon.com and sign up to be a member there. But that supports me. You can go along to Patreon, where you will find Wood and Graphite has a Patreon page, and you can support TJ directly there. So all of those things work. We do have some, I suppose, affiliate links. We have an Audible affiliate link. So if you'd like to sign up for Audible, this is in the US and many other countries, but not the United Kingdom from memory. If you sign up, you get a free book and we get money. Isn't that great?
We got about a month's hosting so for you to get a free book. So it literally costs you nothing. The value add here is you get a free audiobook. There are many that we've talked about on the podcast before. And you get to pay for a month of hosting, which is four episodes. So basically, we're offering you a free book and four free episodes of the podcast for clicking one link, which is at the bottom of every single episode show note.
And of course, with Audible, you do have the right to cancel at any time, which you can do before they start charging you anything.
Yep. Cost yourself nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Hello. Right. that's quite enough of that. So today,
I think so.
What are we talking about?
Well, we've just done one. We're talking about advertising.
Good lord.
Talking about adverts. And I've written a whole litany of I've written advertising in our show notes, and then a litany of subtitles. What do you reckon? Love them / hate them. Do they work? In brackets, on you. Should we have them? Question mark. And then Indigenous advertising. Is it disingenuous or part of the game? Because I like to use big words to make sure I think I know what I'm talking about.
And was this prompted by Jeff?
Mm-hmm, it was.
Listener Jeff, who sent us a very nice email.
Very nice email, yep.
Well, actually, TJ, you I think you're off copy now, but it's actually a very nice three emails, no?
Oh, right, yeah, no, I haven't seen the back end of that. I got the first email notes from Jeff, and really lovely notes about the podcast, some really helpful technical notes, some things that made me go, I thought no one would notice that, but bugger me too. Stuff I need to fix about alignment on the website, various little bits and pieces, very, very helpful. But yeah, had spoken about advertising, and it's something that Stu and I have talked about in the past, about for the podcast, way, way back when we used to have an ad read for Nero's Notes, because Nero's does sponsor the podcast. Stu sponsors the podcast and pays for the hosting and production costs to make this a thing. And so we did have a little ad read in the middle of some old episodes for Nero's, which was good fun. And it wasn't, I don't generally like adverts, spoiler alert for later on this conversation, but I never felt bad about the one we did for Nero's because it wasn't disingenuous. It was like, here's something we both believe in and that offers you real value. If you like it, use it. If you don't, it's still free for this podcast. Do whatever you want.
Ha ha. So, well, yeah, you've given a hint. What do you think about advertising, TJ?
It's a complicated and it's like an Ouroboros of feelings about advertising. I run a YouTube channel, so advertising is key to that YouTube channel working. But at the same time, I dislike adverts and try not to watch them, which is against the principle of how YouTube and advertising works. It's hard because generally my problem is not with something being advertised. My problem is with the methods and quality of the adverts that are thrown at me. And television is the worst. So online media tends to be a little bit more savvy, but television is like the lowest common denominator. It's basically one level above hitting you with a brick that they've written the product name on. It's horrible and it's so repetitive. And that's what gets me. It's like, I got it the first time. I didn't want it the first time. Don't make me watch it nine more times.
I don't think anybody can argue. I think the interesting one and the point that that Jeff raised, which I sort of examined from my own listening habits, is how do I feel about advertising in podcasts?
Yeah.
I'm far from an expert in this because we don't have any regular advertisers. TJ and I have not sort of touched into that world.
Never really looked,
in podcasting.
Yeah.
My impression would be we're probably not big enough to attract, you know, larger sponsors who are looking for, you know, big audience exposures.
But we'd have to go niche, I think, for it to work. I mean, I've looked at our numbers. Our numbers are looking good, and sure. Definitely the diversity of our episodes and guests and things like that help with the sort of the numbers every week and what we're noticing. The most interesting stat for me is that normally we get a spike on a Monday, which is when the episode's released. But what I'm finding is the midweek spikes are getting higher every month. So the kind of the fall off from a Monday to a Monday generally is peak on a Monday and then trough during the week and then peak on the following Monday. Mm-hmm. That trough is rising.
Yeah.
And so that's the interesting stat for me going, oh, we're either getting mentions or someone's talking about it or other things are happening during the week. Or it's just the kind of like not everybody downloads on a Monday and it's catching up. But like we could do ads. The numbers are strong enough for someone in a niche area probably to go, yeah, that would work for me. Let's do an ad on this or that. And it'd probably be someone stationary adjacent or something like that.
Sure.
And I think they may get some value out of it. But the argument is not whether we could run an advertisement and it would be worth the advertiser's time. The argument is, do we want an ad? And would we like that ad? Like, if I don't want to listen to it, I don't want to make other people listen to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm sort of, I listen to a lot of tech podcasts. So most of those are advertising supported. And most of them, I think, the guys doing the reads do them very well. I listen to some humorous podcasts or podcasts with an element of humor to them, perhaps would be fairer. Where some of the reads are they flippant, I suppose might be the word I would use. You know, I get a little bit concerned. I try and think as an advertiser and think, is he sort of, you know, is that person really genuinely promoting my product or mocking it slightly? But then if part of the thing that makes the show work is mockery, then you've kind of got to
If it's the bit, you know.
Yeah, for me, sort of just looking at the commercials of it, I find it problematic. I think, well, wow, this would be tough to do because I suppose if a stationery firm came to us and said, you know, here we go, this is a great new product, will you read this? Oh, and here you go, here's the product to have a look at. And I thought it was crap. I wouldn't be able to help myself, I'm afraid, in the sort of, you know, body of the podcast, I'd say, this is crap. And therefore wouldn't want to say 35 seconds
it's
later,
not.
Have you seen this amazing new logo?
Yeah.
And I think most advertisers are pretty savvy to that and they realize you're not going to sort of do that. But at the same time, they're not going to give you money to sort of smash their products up.
That's the opposite of advertising. That's de-advertising. Yeah.
So I'd find that a little bit difficult. And then sometimes I'm listening to podcasts. I think there are some out there that I do listen to. I can think of a couple in the productivity sphere where I'm fairly certain that he would do anything and read it to you in such a way as to, for example, let's assume this guy is vegetarian. I think he would do a read for the best Wagyu beef burgers and explain
steak
to
restaurant.
You how succulent and juicy they were. It, you know, it just sounds wrong. And I hear the ad and I think, it's an ad, this is annoying me. It's like that TV example you're giving us. Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, you sleep on that mattress and you eat this and somebody delivers you food each day and it's all wonderful, it's fantastic, everybody should do it. Okay, yeah. Can we get on with the show now? So as I think the sort of delivery of the ad is very important because ultimately, I think listeners are, you know, they're smart people and they go, well, you know, the costs need to be covered somehow. And if somebody selling me a mattress is the way that the costs are covered, I'm cool with that. Yeah. And then there are times when the ad runs to 15 minutes and you think, you know, okay, your costs can't be that high.
Yeah. When the content is eclipsed by advert, it's no longer content.
Yeah. So my instinct remains that, okay, I've got a website that sells notebooks, and we talk about notebooks and pencils and stuff like that. So there is an obvious pickup for me there. And, you know, we have some fabulous listeners, some of whom hang out in the Slack with us, and, you know, they do buy notebooks, and I'm very, very grateful for it. So I suppose we do have advertising in a way. It's just not quite as punchy or as direct as in other places, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be interested to hear what people think, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if there's someone who thinks, yeah, I want to do it, fire away, let's have a chat. But I think it would have to be the right fit, because neither of us is concerned with destroying the message, the good feelings that we have about the podcast. I don't think either of us wants to jeopardize that by going, hey, we could make £500 by talking about this thing we both hate in a positive way. Like, why? What's the point? Like, we both worked too hard to build this thing that we're proud of. Don't throw it away trying to monetize it cheaply.
Sure.
So I think there's a lot to be said. Like, there are people in the industry, there are different things in the stationary sphere. If they came along and said, we'd love to work with you, we want to do this, like, yeah, sure, I like that. I like your product. I'm happy to talk about it. But I think the key point is always about, is it disingenuous? That's the key thing for me. Adverts are part of the game. I think adverts are part and parcel of making a podcast sustainable financially. And that's fine. And I can listen to an advert and go, I don't want that thing, but I'm not going to hold it against you for advertising, because I know you got bills to pay, and someone will buy it. There will be an audience. If you have 200,000 listeners, I am one. There are 199,999 other people, and some of them might want that thing, and that's fine. I think if you add value, like, here's a code, go and get money off this if it's something you want. I like it. Here's a personal experience. Make your own decision.
Sure.
That's genuine, I suppose. It's genuine. It's not flaunting something that it isn't. And so it's saying, here's a thing I believe, and you can make your own distinction on that. I think that's something we've talked about so many times, that your mileage may vary, and neither of us is in a position where we can say this is objectively the thing you should do or the thing you should buy, because it's so personal. And I think that's the same with adverts and stuff. Like, the best mattress for me could be a total scam for you. And so it's more about going, I like it, here are the reasons, do your own working.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, most of the advertisers that I've heard on podcasts are like that. I mean, those mattress companies who are so good at this that I've forgotten their names. they do actually offer, I think all of them offer sort of 100-day tests where you can have
3 months, basically.
Yeah, which I think is great. I mean, that's otherwise, you know, why would you ever buy something like a mattress online? Unless you could send it back, it's just not a good idea. I suppose I don't have a problem with it. The other thing that I put in the show note was, you know, how much time and effort would we need to put in if we wanted to commercialize? You know, what would we have to do to go out and reach and find people? And I imagine there's quite a lot of work to it. I get the impression that these people that run podcast networks and, yeah, I think they probably work pretty hard at it, to be honest. Yeah.
There's a technological angle here too, though. There's something you can do now where you basically place markers, and within those markers, ads will then be populated. So it's, I don't know how it's doing it. It's concatenating the audio file and putting something in the middle by almost pausing and playing a different audio file and then coming back. I'm not entirely sure of the technology, but basically it means that, because if I record an ad right now and bake it into the MP3, it is baked in. I'd have to change the MP3. Mm-hmm. Whereas they want to be able to go, ooh, people listen to this podcast 2-3 years after it's been published. So we want to keep the ads relevant. We don't want to be advertising an old code or an old product. We need to be able to update all of our ads. So there's a technological side to this where if you're, and I presume there's a threshold for sort of audience where it becomes viable or they're interested, where you can basically go start of ads, end of ads, like on YouTube, and say this is a window where ads can appear. Sure. If there are ads, make them be here, go. That's much more sustainable because you're like, yep, thumbs up for ads. It's a tick box. And then they appear. And then presumably based on your reach and your audience, and much like YouTube analytics, clicks through, all that stuff,
yep,
you get paid. That's fine. But old school, can I write some words and read some words to talk about your company? That's a lot of work. You're right. It's not a small amount of effort. Like the podcast itself takes time and effort every week to make.
Hmm.
Adding on to that, the production of professional audio adverts and then inserting them seamlessly into the content that we provide, it's at least 50% more work. At least bare minimum.
I've never done anything seamless in my life. Good Lord.
And that's again something you talked about, the discordant nature of some adverts where it's like, I'm really enjoying the conversation. I'm enjoying the story. I'm enjoying whatever it is. Oh, I'm out of it. You lost me. Now I've listened to an advert and I'm back on the train and I've got to deal with the stupid people sitting across from me when I was off in a wonderful, merry, unreality enjoying this podcast. And now I've been crashed back down to earth with some, you know, harsh advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I say, it's one of those, if AN stationery company is listening and wants to come and give me hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm fairly certain I'm going to take them. But the reality is somebody is going to say to me, look, you know, I'll give you a buck every time somebody clicks on this or does that or buys this.
Yeah, it's a lot more measured.
Do you know what? No, it's okay. I'm cool. You go and do your thing and I'll go and do my thing. And if people make great stationery, there's a pretty good chance we're going to talk about it on this show anyway. So
yeah, we tend to. And I think that's a better metric. Do you know? And it's like you talked about Erasable earlier. Like, I wouldn't dream of trying to solicit mentions on any other podcast, but it's a warm, fuzzy feeling whenever people you like and respect talk about your work. And you're like, that's cool. That's awesome. And it makes you talk about their podcast, and it's this kind of nice circle of friendliness instead of it being a weird monetized ad battle.
Oh, no, I think they're sending you a bill, TJ.
Oh, that's okay. Andy, yeah, just...
The usual deal, I think.
Stuart. Yeah, Stuart can handle the metrics and that. Just post it directly to him.
I think he said something about 300-400 free logos or something. I can't remember. we are kidding, folks, before anybody starts atting anyone else. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else to say about advertising. I mean, I don't object to it, but I think a world without it is probably fine. I run, you know, blockers on my computer and stuff and don't allow these things.
It's a complicated beast because we're on the one hand, we're aware of the necessity, but on the other, we don't like the impractical nature of it. And so it's hard. Like, you turn off all your ad blocks and you go and view the internet like, oh my God, is this what people look at? No, thank you. I'm going back to my acidic, quiet, plain white web page with content and not flashing images of scantily clad people.
There are scantily clad people on the internet?
It depends on where you look, but yeah.
Good Lord, I don't know. Did I not know? Well.
You got some Googling to do, my friend.
On that bombshell, I've been Stu Lennon.
And I've been TJ Cosgrove. Remember to make the past, the present, and the future. This was 1857. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this episode.
TJ!